Okay, we are starting the second gate in the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Beis, Perek Aleph, in the book. We're on page Tzadi Gimel, and as we said, this is the gate that will be the gateway to understanding prayer. First couple chapters, the going is a little bit slow, so first couple weeks you'll have to bear with. He does a lot of repetition for a good reason that you'll only appreciate later on down the line. And then he builds up speed and ends with a tremendous flourish. So just bear with it. He's going to start with a question that doesn't get answered till the eighth chapter, I believe, the seventh or eighth chapter. And that's when, once he gets to the answer, then things really take on the high road. So let's begin. He brings a famous verse that we talked about in the last gate, in the Shema prayer, in the second paragraph of the Shema. Ksiv, it says in the second paragraph, which says, if you will listen to God, Vayom Shema Tishmol Mitzvasai, this is what I say. And now what am I saying as well? Le'ahavo es Hashem Elokeichem, to love Hashem your God, Ula avdo, and to serve him b'chol levavachem u'v'chol nafshechem, with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what it says. If you will do that, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, Rama Razal and our rabbis of blessed memory said, b'per kamed of Tainus, in the first chapter in the Talmud of Tainus, u'b'sifri, and in the Sifri, he says like this. So, what's the problem? The text says like this. You're going to love God, and you're going to serve him. Okay, now the question is, Ezohi Avoda Shebalev. What is service of the heart? It says, serve God with all your heart. So what is service of the heart? So Havi Omer, I would say, Zot Vilo. This is prayer. Okay, that's the Talmud's understanding. When it says to serve God with all your heart, what is service of the heart? That is prayer. Now, of course, that already brings a first question. First question is, why should prayer be called avoda? Why should it be called work? Avoda comes from the word eved, which means a servant, right? And the Torah says, ula avdo, and to serve him, okay? So, why should prayer be called work? Now, by the time we finish the first chapter, we'll come to he parenthetically answers it. We'll have to speak it out. But that's one thing you got to think about, okay? But that is the notion. Prayer is work. It is avoda shebalev. It is work of the heart. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, let's analyze this first verse. How many things are we told to do with all our hearts and with all our soul? How many things? What does it say?
To love and to serve.
There's two things we have to do. If to love God, we have to serve God with all our heart and all our soul. So, next paragraph. Hine ha'ahva, love, she'omar, she'tzrich alias b'cholev. The fact that God tells us we have to love Him with all our heart, who pashut? That's easy to understand. Kihimi mitzvah satlis b'lev. Because love is a commandment that is dependent on the heart. I mean, where does love come from? Love comes from the heart. So that's very easy to understand, that you love God with all your heart. And also we have to love God not only with all our heart, but with all our nefesh, with all our soul. Shomar. We also can understand. To even be willing to give up one's life for the Almighty. From the great and wondrous love that you have for God. Right? It's, you know, if you love someone so much, you're willing even to give up your life for that person. So that's what the Torah says. You have to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, even to give up your soul, if need be. Okay? Hukumash Kasabar Parsha Rishona, like it said in the first paragraph of the Shema. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, love Hashem your God, b'chol levav, b'chol v'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and all your soul. So that's clear. That part of the verse doesn't need any explanation. However, you see, the first chapter of the Shema only said the ahavta, love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul and all your resources. The second paragraph has, and you should love Hashem, your God, and serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. So now in the next paragraph he tells us, Omnom, however, Beparshazu, in this second paragraph of the Shema, Chidush Hu Shechidsho, the Torah is giving us a new insight. Shigam Ha'avoda, that this service, this work, which the rabbis have defined, Hiyat Tefillah, which is prayer, Tzricha Lios B'chol Lev V'chol Nefesh, it too has to be with your whole heart and with your whole soul. Now this is already not such a simple thing to understand. And that's what he's going to start in this chapter. He's going to work on the definitions here. Now in the brackets, so the obvious problem is, what does the heart and what does the soul have to do with prayer? Love, it's easy to understand. What I got my heart and my soul to deal with, love. But to deal with prayer, where does that fit in? That's the general question he's going to come to answer. Okay? Now in the brackets, if you recall, way back in the beginning of the first gate, about chapter 8 or 9, if you recall, we mentioned there was an inconsistency between the first paragraph in the Shema and the second paragraph in the Shema. Because the first paragraph said, with all your heart and all your soul and all your resources, and the second paragraph just said, to love God with all your heart and all your soul, and didn't say with all your resources. Remember that question? Long ago? Okay, who remembered the answer we gave?
The type of individual who makes a completely faithful investment in order to pray for the, and not just prayer, but service to Hashem.
Love.
Service to Hashem was undertaken that that part of the Shema applied to him specifically, that he would be able to rely on the provision by Hashem of all of his requirements. Whereas the other individual, the average person, for example, might not be able to muster up that degree let's say insight or intellectual connection with Hashem, would have to maybe rely more on this.
Correct. That was the answer we said in the last gate. That the first chapter said in the singular, because it's talking about the unique individuals who can dedicate their lives to God, so they can even serve God with all their money, live in poverty and serve God. Second chapter is in the plural, it's the masses. The masses can't be expected to give up their money. So that was one answer. Now in the brackets, he just throws in now, by the way, I can give you another answer to this question. Even therefore, in the second paragraph, it doesn't write b'chol ma'otchem, with all your resources, b'porshazo, in this second paragraph. Why? Kimo b'porsha rishon, like in the first paragraph, t'chsiv banami, where it also says b'chol ma'otchem, with all your resources. Why? Ki b'porsha rishon, because the first paragraph, what's the context? Ma'iri is only speaking me'inyan mitzvah ha'av l'chud. It's only talking about love of God. The first paragraph just says what? Ve'ahavta, love God. So to love God, Shaykh Loimer Shatiya Ava Gamba Chomoid, you could say that love is with all your resources, with all your money. You can love somebody with all your heart and with all your soul. You wouldn't give your life up for the person. And you can love someone with all your resources. As he brings a statement in the Talmud, Kimashamar Rasal, a rabbi said in Talmud Brachas, the Gemara asks, if a person is willing to give up his whole life already, why do you have to say give up your money? So Gemara says, there's certain people that their money is more important than their lives. Right? That's for sure true, isn't it? People who live in South Africa, Jews who live in South Africa who haven't moved yet, certainly to some of them, to a great extent, their money is more important than their lives. Because they have a lifestyle of comfort through the money that they have. And they can't take it out with them.
They can't take it out with them,
so they'd rather have their money than their lives. Right? So that clearly some people value their money more than their lives. So therefore, therefore in the first paragraph it says, love God even with all your money. Right? If you love somebody, spend all your money to love them. Right? That's very good. That's why it says all your money. But in the second paragraph, it doesn't only talk about love, but Nami, it speaks about avoda, he feel it, talks about prayer. It's not so applicable to use the concept to give all your money away for prayer. I mean, you could. I mean, when I read this, I said, oh, I could give an explanation. He says, kolkach, not so much. Not so much. In other words, you can love God, you love someone, you spend all your money for them, right? It's possible, right? To pray, you're never going to have to spend all your money. You're going to give away all your money to pray. You may have to give up some money. That's why it says kol kach. For example, a person who has to go to work says, I can't go to davening in the morning. Why? I have to be at work. No, so if you come to work a half hour late, I'm going to make less money. Okay, so it's possible as well that your prayer to God should involve a loss of money. Okay, but not b'chol mother, not all your money though, because you don't pray all day. You see, you don't pray all day, so you're not going to lose. But you could lose a little bit of your money. But so therefore, in the second paragraph, it doesn't say to love and serve God with all your wealth, because in the context of service, which is prayer, it's not applicable to say you're going to give up all your money to pray. So that parenthetically answers that question. Okay. But the main thing he's focusing on now is the new insight that prayer is to be understood in the context with all of one's heart and with all of one's soul. So now he's going to explain each item. That which it says to pray with all your heart, regarding tefillah, hupash, that's easy to understand. Before we turn the page, what do you think it means? What do you think it means to pray with all your heart? Before we give you, he's going to give us two meanings.
To be sincere.
What does that mean?
That whatever you think, it's from the heart. When they say from the heart, really you mean what you are saying in your prayer? You pay attention to what you are saying? With sincerity.
As opposed to?
As opposed to just saying, because you have to say and catch up with everybody and go to work.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Any other selections? Understanding? Anything else? Okay, so now we'll see who's right.
Oh, as we were right?
Well,
one of us?
We'll read out and you'll see. When you find out who's right, you can go whoopee. Right? So, we'll push it. Next page. Umevoar, kavonas hakosav, the intention of the text when it says to pray with all your heart, lebeis inyanim, it has two contexts.
No.
Two answers. There's two answers. Ha'echad, the first one is, hainu lefanos libo, you should clear your heart out, mitir das hamachshavos, from the confusion of multiple thoughts that you have. Right? A whole day your mind is on a lot of things. So when you come to pray, you got to clean out everything that's on your mind. Ulahatosa, and to incline your heart, elakavona hashlema, to total understanding, letevos hatfila, to the words of prayer. Belevav shalem, with a complete heart, umkadaliba, from the depths of one heart. This refers to the understanding of the words. Who said that? Jonathan, you said, you gotta understand the words you're saying. Kimamorim zal, as our rabbi said, bebraiser ish perkein omdim, in the Talmud in Brachos, it says, hamispalal, a person who prays, tzorech shechavein es libo l'shamayim, he should direct his heart to heaven. Shenemar, as the verse in Psalm says, tochin libon, let they prepare their hearts. So here we're talking about the control of focusing one's attention on the definition and the meaning of the words. Okay? What do the words mean? You're saying the words in Hebrew. Do you understand what those words mean? Right?
Why is that called praying with all your heart instead of praying with your intellect or your brain or your mind? Why is the heart?
Because the heart is the seat of emotion. And if you don't understand what you're saying, you don't have any emotion. Right? Can you imagine reading a love poetry to someone in a language that you don't understand? It's not going to have much emotion in there, right? So that's the idea over here. You've got to understand every word that you're talking about. Okay? Really focusing on that. Okay? Ukidamash melehu nami hasa mikroi dechana. From the verses in terms of Chana's prayer, it says, "V'Chana hi medaberes aliba." Chana is speaking upon her heart. And from here, the Talmud says, "Mikan." We learn from this, "V'Mispalot tzorach shechavein libo." A person has to direct his heart. King David said, "V'Chalibi drashticha." I sought you out with all my heart. Now he again brings a Zohar, as he accustomedly does, to prove this point. Ubezohar v'shalach, and in the Zohar and Parsh v'shalach, skip to the brackets. He says, "Kol mi shemispal tefilah lifnei hamelech hakadosh, anyone who prays before the Holy King, tzorach levakesh bakashosov, he has to make his requests, ulispal, and to pray, me omek halev, from the depths of his heart, the most of emotion, kedei sheyimotzei libo sholem bakadosh baruch hu v'yechaven libo ritzono, that you're able to find your heart to be completely with God and to direct his heart and his will towards God. Ulchein Amruzal, and therefore our rabbi said in the Gemara Brachas, Shamispal, that a person who prays, Tzorach Lishos. Now there it's talking about a person who has to say two prayers in a row. For whatever reason.
Lishos.
Oh, Lishos means to delay, to tarry, to pause. So we're talking about a situation where a person has to pray one prayer and then another prayer, two in a row. Let's say you forgot, you weren't able to daven Marv against your control. When it comes to Shachas, you have to daven Shemoneh Esrei twice, one to make up. So the Gemara says, well, if you're going to pray, you have to pause. Now there's a couple words missing there, etc., etc. The filling the blank is between one prayer and another prayer. You have to pause, kidei shetischonei daitolov, so your mind should settle upon you. And Rashi explains, so your mind should be settled that you're able to prepare your words in a form of supplication. Bahainu, and this all means, this is all incorporated in the words, b'chol levavchem, with all your heart. Shetismale kol halev, that your whole heart should be full, rak bekavonas tevos hatfila, just with the understanding of the words of the prayer. That's what your whole focus should be. Shimiyala beliba eza machshava acheres, because if something else is on your mind, hare alev chaluka bebeis machshavas, your heart now is split between two thoughts. In other words, the nature of a person is that if the person is thinking about more than one thing at a time, he can't give either one of them proper attention. Right? And I think at work you know that all the time, right? So many different things on your mind, you can't really focus. Sometimes I fall in that trap when I've got to prepare two classes in one day. Sometimes I'll start looking at one thing and then I'll look in the other and I'll try to prepare both classes at the same time. And it takes longer. Got to be able to totally focus on preparing the Parsha class. I'm just doing the Parsha class. I don't think about the Nefesh HaChaim class. Finish with that, prepare the Nefesh HaChaim class. You can be totally focused. Prayer, bechol levavchem, with all your heart, with all your intensity of focusing and understanding the words and bringing forth the emotion that comes from those words. Okay? Total focus. All of it. Your whole being is in those words and what they mean and what they're trying to say. All right? So, clearly, if a person does not understand Hebrew, he will not be, even if he can read it, he cannot fulfill this part of the verse. And to that extent, there would be a reason to say that one should pray in English. So at least you understand what you're saying. I'm not going to say anything more about the subject because Reb Chaim later on is going to give a whole talk about this idea, you know, if about the letters or not. So we're going to leave that. But for right now, it would be totally justified to say that in terms of fulfilling this concept, you should pray in English. Then you can at least focus. And how can your heart be fully into the words if you don't know what they mean? How could you be totally?
The word. Sometimes it's the meaning of the sentence.
Yeah, but if you don't know what the words mean, then how do you know the meaning of the sentence? One word after another word. It's a bunch of gibberish.
There's an interesting story that I heard on a tape somewhere or whatever. A father who brought his boy to a synagogue and he didn't know anything. So he just said Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, and God will put the word, make the word.
Right.
And the rabbi at that service or whatever said, those are the prayers that will go the farthest because they are coming from the heart.
Correct. That's a famous story, right?
Yeah, and so, get it
yeah, that's there's different variations of it, but you got the main idea. So again, Reb Chaim's going to talk about this later on, towards the middle of the gate. He's going to talk about this idea, about the power of the words, which we'll learn a lot about. But right now, but still in all, there is a degree of b'chol levavchem missing even in that story. I mean,
he's totally
he still doesn't know what's going on over here, and it's you know, that was most likely a Hasidic story. That I don't know if Reb Chaim would, if Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Voloshin was there, I don't know if he would have responded the same way.
No.
Okay. This is the whole tension between the Hasidim and the Mishnayim. That is certainly a Hasidish story. And the intention behind it is along that way. Yeah, the intention is wonderful. More so than even praying properly. Okay. Then we ended off last week with that idea as well, right? So that's a fair point, but Reb Chaim is definitely not going to subscribe to that. Okay, so that's point number one. That's one idea. So you guys got that one, right? Let's see if we got the second one too. Ba'beis. Now the second one is a much deeper concept. Hainu is a second thing. Gam l'shoresh milibo, that one should root out from one's heart. Ba'avodas ha'tfila, with the work of prayer. What should you root out? Tanuge ha'olam v'hana'osav mikol v'chol. You should root out the pleasures of this world and all of its luxuries. V'af li'stak v'ach, and only li'stak el klape mala, to only be gazing and focusing up heavenly word, v'romamus ha'bori yisborach, to the majesty of the Almighty. And that's exactly what in the Shulchan Aruch in chapter 98, that's what it says, that men of great integrity and of great piety, they would seclude themselves and try to direct their prayers until it's as if they strip themselves of their physicality and let their intellect dominate until they were reaching nearly to the point of prophetic vision. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay? You know, that might be a little bit beyond us. But that's what you have to do. Okay, let's go ahead. Moshe Amar, as it says in the Talmud Yevamos, HaMispal, a person who prays, Tzarech Sheyitein Libo L'mala, he should place his heart upward, heavenlyward. Meaning to say, Ache Kol Koach Libo, that the whole power of the heart, the yearnings and the passions, should be meshucha, should be drawn, rak lamala, only upwardly. Lis aneg al Hashem levad, to take pleasure only in Hashem. Bateva satfila, with the words of prayer. It's, what he's saying here is someone who prays properly, he's saying the essential nature of prayer is a pleasure. Prayer is meant to give you tremendous pleasure. There's a medrash in Tehillim that says that when a person is standing in prayer, your heart should be very happy. Why? Because you're serving a God that there's nobody like him. That's what the medrash says. Rabbi Yonah Sanaivishitz, one of the great rabbinic leaders of a few hundred years ago, in a letter he wrote to someone, he said like this, he ends off the letter, and he said, and this is my portion of all my work. What do I have from all my work? The 1 hour that I stand before God who listens to my prayers. That's my lot. That's what I look forward to in the day. The 1 hour that I can pray to God. It's my greatest pleasure. All right? So obviously, Reb Chaim is hinting to big things over here, that if you want to have the greatest pleasure in life, the greatest pleasure in life can come from prayer. Okay, it's going to take a whole gate for us to learn that. All right, it's easier said than done. All right, I think most of us have a lot of difficulty in getting pleasure out of davening, and certainly the longer the davening, the less the pleasure. For many. So, but that's what he's saying over here. Ukeinyan, back in the text, ukeinyan achasidim rishonim, like the famous piece of Talmud where it talks about the early chasidim. It doesn't mean chasidim colloquial. Known, but Hasidim means people who are very meticulous in their mitzvah observance. Shall you show him sha'achas? They would wait 1 hour. K'dei she'achavno es libam lamakom, so they could direct their hearts to God. Okay? Now, when some of you may have heard this Gemara already, if you've learned a little bit of Mishnah, and we're used to understanding that piece of Gemara about the Hasidim Rishonim taking the hour, was when you usually learn it, it says because it would take them an hour to deprogram themselves from all the hub of activity that was around them. So that's how they approach prayer. And they needed a whole hour to just get all the narishkeit out of the system. right? But if that was true, the true meaning, Reb Chaim would give that Gemara as an example to which concept? To the first concept. He said to serve God with all your heart, first one was what? Concentration. Focus. Right? Get everything out of your mind. He brought a Gemara, but he didn't bring this Gemara. So obviously, when he says the Chassidim Rishon waited an hour, that's not what it means. Right? It's not what it means, because he's not bringing that as a proof to that. Right? So the fact that he's bringing it to the second concept suggests the following. That the second concept over here is not one of focusing attention. It's a lot different over here. The second concept of serving God with all your heart is that it's possible that even when a person is totally focused on prayer, let's say you got that whole first level, you're meticulous in every word, and you're concentrating, and you're really saying it, but it doesn't necessarily yet mean that the person's striving and involvement and pleasure is coming from prayer. It could be that's not your happiest thing. You know, let's say you just finished a very enjoyable Olam Hazeh experience. A this world experience, very enjoyable. You went out to a fancy restaurant, right? You really liked it. You went to an amusement park. A real this world physical pleasure, right? You went to a movie, right? And right away, I gotta go to Daven Marv. Jump yourself right into prayer. So, after learning the first interpretation of with all your heart that Reb Chaim says, okay, I know, I gotta put the movie out of my mind, put the dinner out of my mind, put the good company I had out of my mind, and I gotta focus right on the prayer, think about the words, think of what I'm saying, fine. So he focuses on the words. And he doesn't lose his thought process for 1 minute. Beautiful, right? But does that mean that there was a value change that the person is living for during the prayer necessarily? No. Right? There could be no necessarily a value change at all. Right? All he's doing is that this world thing that I was doing before was very important to me. My heart is drawn by that kind of thing. That really gets me excited. Alright, the best example is the men can appreciate this more. If you're in intermission of a Stanley Cup, game. Game's at night and starts before the time to daven marv. He starts at 8:00. So, if the guy wants, do mitzvahs too, right? So when is he going to daven marv? He'll do it between periods, right? Between the second and third period, you got about 20 minutes, So I'll daven marv. So it's a really close game, and his heart is pounding and during the game. Yeah, go get it, bam, right? Okay, I got to put it on ice now as they're icing up the rink, And I got to totally put it temporarily on hold, and now I got to concentrate on the words. Right? And a person could say, it would be a hard job, but a person could recognize the fact, listen, I can't think about two things. I can't make a mockery of my prayer. Right? Now, you're right. Most people would make a mockery of their prayer, wouldn't pray at all. Right? But there are a lot of people who do that, And so he says, listen, I'll put my Olam Hazeh, my this world pleasures, I'll put them on hold. And for 10 minutes, I'll force myself to think about my prayers. Right? That would be the first concept that Reb Chaim is saying. But doesn't really mean that those prayers are sending you away. Right? The second concept that Reb Chaim is bringing is the concept that the person gives himself time to understand the Almighty, to understand the greatness of the Almighty, all the things that Hashem has done for me, and I'm going to sit for an hour to think about everything that Hashem has ever done for me in my life, and to be just overly awe-inspired by that majestic thought. Think about the time you climbed Masada and looked at the breathtaking scenes over the great cliffs, and you're just awe-inspired by God. Bring back all those things. Remember every delivery of every child that you had, or the time you got married, all these unbelievably good experiences that God gave you, whatever it is, right? And you think about that for an hour. Why? Because now you've been totally emotionally involved in wanting to talk to Hashem, in wanting to communicate to Hashem, right? So it's much more than just putting things to the side, right, for the time being. But by understanding Hashem and understanding His greatness and understanding what He's done for me, then you begin to feel tied to Him. And you feel that the most significant thing in my life is that I have Hashem to stand in front of and to talk to. So, yeah, I may have been, in other words, you know, I was involved in something before, but now, what the second level is saying is that my greatest involvement that I find the greatest pleasure from is knowing that I can communicate with a God who cares for me. And this second definition of with all your heart is a qualitative definition, that the heart has a striving to come close to God. That's the point. Let me finish the point and we'll take questions. To cleave to God. Now, how does that happen, right? So obviously you got to have step number one. You got to understand what the words mean. You got to push out the externals. If you don't have that, you can't even come to the plate. But now, once you've done that, okay, the ball game's out of the mind, right? It's out of the mind. Okay, you wonder if a guy was going to come to these thoughts, how is he ever watching a ball game? That's another question, right? But everything's out of my mind. My business is out of my mind. You got to make a living. It's out of my mind. I'm going to focus on the words. But now I'm just going to think about the greatness of Hashem. How much Hashem is interested in what I have to say. How He's involved with my life. He gives me what I need. He understands what I need, right? And where the person's whole intention is, wow, this is the opportunity for me to talk to the most significant item that exists in my life, that's the Almighty. This is the drawing close to Hashem. This is the enjoyment that the person has more than any other thing in the world. And for that, the Gemara says, the Chassidim and Rishonim took an hour. Why an hour? Because that really means that after now you're going to have a real good understanding of God. You got to spend time to dwell on what that all does, and your relationship, and how that relationship is greater than any other relationship you have in the world. And you start to discriminate between certain pleasures, and realizing the greatest pleasure you could have is the relationship that you have with God. And that, the Chassidim Rishonim would take an hour for that, to really get to that kind of a level. So the first definition of with all your heart is talking about with kavona. So when we talk about the word, the Hebrew word kavona, you know, they throw that word around kavona a lot. To daven with kavona, that's the lingo they say. To pray with kavona from the root kivun. Kivun means direction. To pray with direction. So the simple meaning is kavona, direction of Perish Hamilos. Understanding what the word means. And that's the first Talmudic statement. You gotta wait, but between prayer and prayer. The second point is this understanding is from the Chassidim HaRishonim that waited the hour. Right? And this is now we understand the concept why it's called Avoda. This is work. On a simple level, the first definition of with all your heart, the work is, it's work because it demands control of focus. Just try to pray for 45 minutes. Forget about 45 minutes. Let's just talk about the Shemona Esrei that maybe only takes you 6 or 7 minutes. Try to say the whole Shemona Esrei, focused, only think about, and even do it in English, to only read the words and what they mean. Nothing more than that. Try to do it for 7 minutes without any thoughts popping in your mind. Try it as an exercise. See what kind of headache you may get after those 7 minutes. And if you try to do it for a whole prayers, for the whole Pesukah Zimra, the whole davening, what kind of headache you'll get. Right? How do you feel after a hard day's work, Alan? Bushed?
Yeah.
You're bushed. Your mind's been cooking, hopefully, right? So now try to daven a Shemon Esrei. You know, and wait till Reb Chaim gets done with us by the end of all the chapters and what he's really going to lay onto us over here. Okay?
What you're talking about is actually hypnosis. There is a process of bringing yourself to a state, you know, self-hypnosis, where you can, and I guess that's where they're coming from. You reach a certain state where the even time is irrelevant.
Well, it's like meditation.
You pray for 2 hours and you wouldn't notice it because you're in that.
It's more
right,
like
but,
a meditation.
But to get yourself into it,
it's immensely
difficult.
Difficult.
It's a big string.
Yeah,
it's a big string.
But it's good for the time that you can...
Yeah, but till you get there, right, it's a very hard thing. So that's very hard work. That's the simple level of the heart, the avoda, why it's work. The deeper level is the second definition of with all your heart, means the person says that all the other pleasures of the world are really secondary to the relationship that I have with Hashem. With all your heart, my whole heart is to God. To nothing else. Okay? Now, that's an assessment that has to go through the heart, has to go through the mind of the person, that has to work out, the person has to work it out in himself in this process that's called prayer. That's a hard thing, to go and start saying, you know, what's the most important thing in my life? My spouse, my kids, they're important. How important? God's more important? You've got to think about it. As you start thinking about it, it's very, very difficult. These are difficult, difficult concepts. You start pondering, you know, what's more important in my life, my spouse or my God? You know? Oh, I don't know. My spouse does a lot of good things for me. My best friend or God? My children or God? Start thinking about it. You know, if I had to choose between one and the other, which would I choose? Right? I mean, these are, you know, what gives me the greatest pleasure in life? Right? So it takes a lot of evaluation. Right? This is authentic, that's authentic avoda. That's real work. And probably more, now we know that animal offerings was also called avoda, and prayer is the only thing that is left to reflect on that. Much harder than slaughtering an animal is davening, the way Reb Chaim is telling us to daven. Now these are high levels. No one's expected tomorrow to get into these levels. Okay? Don't say, oh no, this is not for me. I ain't coming anymore. Yeah. The rabbi said, I gotta know what every word means. I don't even know what Hebrew means. Forget it. I gotta really start thinking that God is the greatest thing of my life. I don't know if I'm prepared to do that either. I can't spend an hour in preparation. Okay, so like we always say, you start with little increments.
Well, this is like I don't myself, I try to understand what I'm studying. And I learned from that, like certain words, like, oh, you know, like,
yeah.
So that's an attempt to understand, but I can't understand every single word without, like I guess, I have to.
Right, study. So you have to sit and study. So what I usually suggest to people is you try to do one blessing a week or one blessing a month, whatever the time frame. Say, I'm going to try to understand, and especially the first blessing of Shemona Esrei is really critical. I'm going to try to understand what every word means. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to go through every word in a linear bingo. Oh, that's a kuzari. I'm going to go through a linear sitter. Baruch, blessed, atah, you, Hashem, God, right? Elokeinu, our God, right? Every word, telling me what every word means. You know, it'll take you, and you start the first day, just do a line. I'm going to go over that line for 4 or 5 days until I know that line cold. Okay, then I'll go to the next line. At the end of the month, whatever, I know what every single word means, and I'm going to practice to say that one paragraph with total concentration. Just do that. Start with that. Right? Remember, every little bit you do has infinite value. Right? So you're not ready to start 7 minutes of intense thought process or a whole davening. It's not practical. Start somewhere. Right? Start to think a little bit of how important the Almighty is in your life. Think of one, before you pray, think of one thing that you really feel special with God with. One thing. You know, always have that thing be in your mind. That you always think, you know, I'll never forget X. You know, that beautiful walk in the park last week when all the flowers started to blossom for the first time, the tremendous smell. Only the Almighty could do such a wonderful thing, right? Whatever that is that gets you going, all right? It's interesting, you know, the Hasidim would go on Erev Shabbos, they'd go out into the fields to bring in the Shabbos, right? It's like a motivator, you know? Sometimes that's a great thing to do, right? So spend 30 seconds to think of one wow experience in which you really feel touched and close with God, and then try to do that first blessing. Start. You got to start somewhere, you know? And you'll see if you spend 5 minutes a day, You'll see after months you can do the whole Shemoneh Esrei. You'll be able to do it. You really will. If you can't read the Hebrew, of course, you know, it goes without saying it's a good suggestion to learn Hebrew. You know, it's a good idea, and ultimately that should be the goal. At least, you don't have to be a conversationalist in Hebrew. You can learn a passive Hebrew. What I mean by passive Hebrew, you could read and understand what you read, even though you can't speak. It's a lot of yeshiva bachurim are like that. They can, I can read anything in Hebrew. For me to talk to an Israeli, I'll have a little bit of trouble still. Okay, but you can read and understand what you read, right? So that's how you have to attack it. So Reb Chaim has already given you you think this is the highest goal. This is nothing compared to where he's going to take you still. Okay? Right now you're saying, oh man, I can't even relate to this. Just start. Now that's the idea. And that's why, although we don't have an hour, but we will see all the preliminary prayers are trying to get you to this point. And he'll, at the end of the gate, at the very end of the gate, it's so interesting, what Arya Kaplan has pages and pages on, Reb Chaim only gives you a bracketed fine print to give you that whole idea of how the different parts of prayer lead you and build you up to this point. Okay? But that's the idea with all your heart. Right? Question? Okay. How are you confused?
Splitting hairs, but what you seem to be saying in one breath is that you have to devote and focus your entire attention to the prayer and the words at hand. And then at the next breath, you're sort of suggesting that you have to start thinking about your walk in the park as a starting place to build a relationship. So on one hand, you're dismissing, I can understand, the baseball game or whatever it is. But then you're saying, go bring into the other things that are important in your life.
No, but those things will be the catalyst for you to sense the majesty of God.
But you're putting on some kind of personal evaluation of which things are the right things to start thinking about.
Well, you can only start from where you're at. That's
it's a
starting point.
At this hockey game, and he's enjoying the physical activity of being present with his friends and family and whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's at a meal. He's enjoying his food.
Right.
What's the difference between focusing on that meal that you just had and enjoying that presence, and then focusing on that wonderful orange you had 10 years ago and eating that? And that experience.
No, if you can develop an awe to God from the meal, you could too. You could.
So really,
but
you don't have to separate yourself.
You don't have to, but usually you will. It usually will work out that way.
Okay. I think where you're getting maybe confused is your mind doesn't stay on that thought. That's like a key that opens the door and takes you.
It starts you.
Higher.
It's the catalyst.
That's right. And then that's gone.
And now you enter the world of God. What's where did all this come from? Who's this being? Right.
It's a lot easier if God was at the table with you to begin with.
Well, if you make brachos,
well,
maybe he is.
Amazon.
Maybe he is.
Well, thank you.
You're right. In other words, there's going to be difficulties. If you're really a this world person to excess, it's going to be hard to do this. It's going to be very hard to do this. That's going to be the work, to be able to reassess and say, you know, this really, you know, in and of itself is not what it's all about. Indulging in a 9-course meal is not really what life's all about. You know, going to hockey games is not what it's really all about. You know, you have to start making evaluations.
You were walking through a park, and then it was time to have prayer, and you were appreciating the nature.
Well, you see, now you're using the world more in concert.
What it's all about.
No, it is. It's a catalyst. No, it is what it's all about.
Yeah,
it
so
is.
Then that's a physical relationship. That
yeah, but that. But then you go further. Then you go further.
I understand that, but it's just the thought process. Right? One moment you're saying, think about the prayer itself. The prayer might not be talking about nature per se.
Right. Well, the truth is, if you go through the prayers, prayers talk a lot about nature.
But not I'm
a lot, a heck of a lot. But I'm in other words, you'll be able to take your experiences and in the preliminary prayers use those experiences as ways to connect to God. And then that's the stepping stone to get you to totally forget about the flowers and everything. Eventually it's going to lead you to forget about it. But as a starting point, like, Reb Chaim's talking up here, right? We're down here, so where are you going to start? going to start with the orange.
Start on the human level.
You've got to start, but as time passes and you work on it, you won't need to. That's the idea. But as a starting point, that's a starting point.
You know, when they use the word fila, they usually mean the Shmona Esrei.
Yes.
Rab Chaim is using...
No, he's still talking about Shmona Esrei.
The general?
No, tefillah always means the Shmona Esrei. The word tefillah is always a reference to the 18 prayers that consist of the silent prayer. That's the core of prayer. Everything else is just built around it, builds up to it, builds after it. But right now, you could just think of Shmona Esrei, and for all intents and purposes, for most of the gate, we need to talk about Shmona Esrei. That's enough. Okay? So let's try to finish up the gate, the chapter. So we're three lines from the bottom. As Rabbeinu Yonah, the medieval commentary, explained on the text there, Ayin Shom, look over there, V'libcha Tosis, and your heart will be set to this. So what does Reb Chaim say over there? Rabbeinu Yonah, he doesn't tell you what he says, so I have to look it up and tell you what he says. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains, Rabbeinu Yonah is the same person who wrote the Gates of Repentance, same person. He explains the words that a person should put his understanding, the way Rabbeinu Yonah says, a person should try to understand the relative cheapness of all the physical pleasures in the world compared to the relationship that a person can have with Hashem. That's what a person has to do. Compared to a relationship with Hashem, everything is very cheap compared to that. Right? This is an eternal, this is a relationship with the infinite. The infinite most powerful being you can be connected to. Now, what can compare to that? Right, so that's what you have to think about. Eventually, you have to get to those kinds of levels, right? So that's what you have to think about. Kosh Omer Shmos Rabbah says in the Medrash Rabbah there, Adam Tzorich. What does a person need to do? She Yitaher Libo. He has to purify his heart. Kodim She Yispalo before he prays. Here, that doesn't mean to focus one's heart. First, you got to purify, meaning the value of what the heart considers important, and significant is the purification process. Your heart, you know, you get caught up in the middle of the day, what do you think is important, your business, this and that, get caught up in it. Now you got to purify your heart, and you got to say what's really important. Right? Somebody says, stop what you're doing.
Oh my God.
What's really important? You're middle of your office, you're slow. What's really important? Think for a minute. All right? Really important is my eternal existence. It's my connection, my representation of godliness in this world. Right? That's what you gotta. You gotta purify your thoughts. Then you'll focus on the words and what you're trying to accomplish. Right? That's the two steps here. Next page. In the brackets. However, and he's always going to remind you of a few points over and over. Kol ikur inyan taras alev, this whole concept of purification of heart, hirak lemitzvah, it's only a dimension, an added dimension to the mitzvah, velo leikuva, but it is not a prerequisite, gam leinyan tefillah, even for prayer. Av shenikras avodah shebelev, even though prayer is called service of the heart, kemosh yizbor k'tzas leil sof sharaf, like I said at the end of the first gate, the main thing in every mitzvah is the action you do. Right? And this is an idea Reb Chaim constantly goes through in the book over and over and over. He's saying, but don't get